You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Our guest joining us on the Buyers Barricades hotline right now, great friend of the show and friend of the station. He is the pregame and postgame host for the Cowboys Radio Network and a proud Kansas Jayhawk, Rock Chalk, Ari Temkin.
Yes.
Joining us on the show. How you doing, Ari?
Man, that is the coolest intro music I've ever heard for a guest spot ever. That's all. Thank you, guys. That's amazing.
It's our way of sucking up to all of our guests. So
we don't shy from that.
As happy as you sound right now, I would say mission accomplished, Rich.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ari, as you can imagine, we've been talking a bunch about this game today, and we were talking about Dak Prescott in an earlier segment, and I'm curious. Dak was great as a rookie, backslid a little bit last year. Where is Dallas right now? Media, fans, everybody. What's the consensus on Dak right now as far as being the quarterback of this team, not just in 2018, but what's the confidence level in him being the guy for the next 10 years for this team?
We don't tend to be myopic in the media when it comes to football, are we, traditionally? Is that how we react to things? Because 3 weeks in, it was basically get rid of this guy. He's not the answer. It's time to draft a new quarterback and start over with their coaching staff. And I don't think the coaching staff is out of the woods quite yet. Neither do I think Dak Prescott is out of the woods quite yet. But, I mean, he had his best game of the season and his best game, man, a long time on Sunday. So, you know, it's not just that they won Sunday against Detroit. It's how they won, coming from behind late, their offense saving them, something that, I mean, this is an offense, guys, that was averaging 13.7 points per game going into week four, which amazingly wasn't last in the NFL. So, I mean, they were really struggling to put up points. They weren't consistently making plays down the field with their receivers. So, yeah, I mean, everybody was sort of out on Dak, and not to say everybody's in on him now, but it's sort of a still in wait-and-see mode with Dak Prescott.
Or it's hard to believe. With that being said, it's hard to believe that the future's bright without finding Dak Prescott another target or a target that has X factor type skill. I mean, do you hear that conversation? Obviously, you do. Everybody does. But where does that sit with the organization?
Hey, Clint. Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, it's so interesting because basically all through training camp, all through the preseason, you know, it was basically like, well, we don't need an X. We don't need a true number one. You know, we've got these different guys. We're going to play them in different spots. We want interchangeable pieces along the receiving core. And you know, we're going to be very creative and multiple. And I mean, I guess we kind of bought it because we saw a little bit of in training camp and, you know, it sort of made sense. I mean, they didn't want Dez because they didn't want just a true X and a guy that, you know, maybe couldn't run every route and maybe, you know, called for the ball in a one-on-one matchups. And maybe that sort of changed the way Dak Prescott thought about the play in its entirety. So, you know, we bought it. And 3 weeks in, it was like, oh, you guys were wrong. Like, this is basically the same offense as last year. But no Dez, like no legitimate X, no guy that you can win with on a 3rd and 8. That, you know, you can just run it, throw a slant to and get it. And, you know, I'll say week four against Detroit changed a lot of this because we started to see that weird enough creativity, which is like very bizarre to say about a Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan offense. But we did. We saw a lot of pre-snap motion. We saw play action, which we don't traditionally see from the Cowboys. We saw Zeke Elliott lined up on the outside, which we've never seen before. So we saw in week four some of the creativity that we said we heard we were going to see this season. And it's just 1 week, but it certainly gave us some indication of how we've always viewed this team with Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan as that coach as being sort of conservative and old and in the Stone Age, when you look at some of these that's is what they're doing, and they probably still are in many regards, but I'll tell you, it was very impressive schematically what they did against Detroit, and, you know, you hope to see more of that again this week, because if not, then it's, I mean, now you've seen 4 weeks of the former and just 1 week of the latter, which, again, shows that they can do what they wanted to do. Does it mean, Clint, they don't need a legit X? I mean, I still find it hard to believe they're going to be a playoff team, you know, without a legitimate go-to guy. But, you know, they like running slot receivers in the X spot. I mean, it's weird, but they do. And they'll run some pre-snap motion with those guys and, you know, fake jet sweeps, a lot of what you guys do. But they're running those speed guys, those slot guys from the X. So they genuinely think they don't need it. And for 1 week, we saw it, and we saw that they might be right.
Ari, even with what they accomplished against Detroit, all the stuff you just alluded to, at the quarter pole of the season, only Arizona and Buffalo have thrown for fewer passing yards than the Dallas Cowboys. If what we saw last week turns out to be more of the outlier than the norm,
right,
tell me why there's no chance they would consider bringing Dez Bryant back. And I should also say that Dez publicly said this week, if he comes back, his first choice, if it was his choice, would be to go back to the Dallas Cowboys.
That's a great question, Rich, and it certainly has been a major topic this week. It's interesting. Why would a guy that was just cut by a team think that he could still play for that team? Like that's a weird thing, right? Like, you cut a player, that clearly means you don't have interest in that player. And now, a few months later, he starts to make comments that I'd like to still play for that team. Well, I mean, so would I. I'd like to play for the Dallas Cowboys too. So here's my conspiracy theory on that. You know, a few months ago, Dez Bryant was photographed with Jerry Jones at the AT&T Stadium for the Beyonce Jay-Z concert, and they're in a suite together. And I mean, Jerry Jones is, you know, there's certainly a lot of negatives about him, but one thing he is smart, and he understands that if he's in a public setting in his stadium with Dez, that people are going to take pictures of that, and it's going to be public. And so he does that on purpose. And I mean, literally the only thing that I can think about that would a guy would be cut by a team and then still think that team would be interested in him would be if, say, maybe the team's owner and general manager, who is probably the only guy who didn't want to cut Dez, maybe that guy said to Dez, hey, this offense has been terrible. We can't throw the ball down the field. We're scoring 13.7 points per game. If we continue to play like this, then I can lobby to Jason Garrett, to Stephen Jones, to the rest of the offensive staff, we need Dez back. And again, it's just a conspiracy theory. I have no knowledge on that. But I literally have no – I'm searching for other reasons as to why a guy that was cut by a team would suddenly think 5 weeks into the season, hey, I'd like to still play for that team. I mean, the season's already here. This isn't the off season. It's just such a bizarre thing for somebody to do. So the only thing I could possibly think of is if Jerry basically told him, hey, if this thing continues to go downhill, I'm going to make a pretty good case for us to bring you back. But this was the wrong week to do it because it was the one week that this offense looked somewhat competent.
Yeah, that would be a phenomenal conspiracy theory if it came
real
true.
True.
Ari Temkin, Cowboys Radio Network, joining us here on the Triple Threat on Sports Radio 610. Ari, the Cowboys get David Irving back this week. What does that mean for that front seven?
I mean, he's really, really good. He had 7 sacks in 8 games played last year, but I don't know what we're going to see from him. Guys, he hasn't played football since week 12. He got a concussion week 12 of last year, didn't play the rest of the year. He was out of shape, quote-unquote, through mini camps. Did not participate in any capacity with the team at training camp. Then was suspended 4 weeks, so couldn't be at the team facility. And now he comes back. So, I mean, he hasn't played, and Clint, you know, can speak to this. Like, I do the pre- and post-game show with Jesse Holly. I mean, it's one thing to work out and lift weights, and it's another thing to do a hand-to-hand combat that playing defensive end commands. I mean, you can't supplement real game reps for that. I mean, so they say he's in shape and he looks great and he's weighing 285 or whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, but I mean, he hasn't played football in any capacity since week 12 of last year. No training camp, no OTAs, nothing. So I don't know how he's just going to hit the ground running. He wasn't even at practice today. I mean, this is the week he's back. He's not at practice. It's just, it's crazy that they think this guy can go from that to going out with the interior of their defensive line. And they've got a real good pass rush, second in the league with 14 sacks, but Antoine Woods, who's been a beast for them, He's going to miss the game, and Malik Collins will probably miss the game too. So it's going to be interesting to see if they move, kick Tyrone Crawford, who traditionally plays end but has played inside. They kick him back inside, and they obviously then have a need for David Irving to play more snaps because they're kind of short with the interior of their D-line.
All right, stay on that defensive side of the football. And excuse my ignorance here. I don't know exactly what Sean Lee's situation is, but I know this in the past when I've watched this team, it's a different defense when Sean Lee's on the field versus when he's off. I saw last week where Vander Esch, he stepped up and at least made an impact. What is that situation there? How do you see it playing out? Is he coming along to fill Sean's shoes the way that people think he can and will? What's that situation at linebacker?
Yeah, it looks like Lee is going to miss at least the next couple of weeks. I mean, definitely this week and probably next week, too. He's dealing with a hamstring issue. And, I mean, it's more of the same with Sean Lee. I mean, he's a great player. He is a great, great player and a great leader, but he just can't stay healthy. And, you know, they drafted Leighton Vander Esch in the first round of this draft with the impression that this would probably be Sean Lee's last year with the Cowboys. And I over the last 5 years or something, I think it's three or five years, they're 1-10 without Sean Lee. Well, they improved to 2-10 with their win against the Lions, and so much of that is because of Leighton Vander Esch, who really came out slow at training camp, and it was like, oh, God, I don't know if they chose the right guy. But, man, has he come on real, real well last few weeks. And, I mean, he played probably his best football game last week without Sean Lee. But the other thing is, you know, they're traditionally, especially, I mean, most teams play nickel as their base now. So, I mean, they are basically using him and Jalen Smith as the only linebackers in nickel situations. And those two guys together were so good on Sunday. Now, they had some major breakdowns at the back of their defense, and that's why I think it's a big, big problem going into this game, because we know the Texans have a propensity to make big plays down the field, which the Cowboys have given up a lot of big plays in recent weeks. But their linebacking core with Vander Esch and Jalen Smith is as good as they've been without Sean Lee, probably since Sean Lee was drafted. And so this is going to be Sean Lee's final year in Dallas. He's still under contract after this year, but they can save $7 million against the cap. Again, I have no doubt in my mind that they drafted Vander Esch to replace Sean Lee, and, you know, through 4 weeks, and especially when needed to replace Sean Lee, man, he played a heck of a game. And this is obviously a big week for those two, Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, because I think of what we saw last week from Kiki Kuti and Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's going to be in the linebackers.
Ari, we got about a minute. I want to ask you real quick about the Cowboys' O-line. When Dak came in the league in 2016, it looked like one of the greatest O-lines ever assembled. Not so much these days. And the indication for us of that here in Houston is that they brought in Xavier Suofilo. Yeah, that's a shot. Just give me a status report on that O-line. How's Connor Williams looked? Has Joe Looney looked subbing at the center spot? You know, why isn't that along with the obvious absence of Travis Frederick, but why isn't that the line we thought was going to be a great line for years to come?
That's a great question. I'd say the worst of it has been Lyle Collins, their right tackle. I mean, this is a guy that started slow last year and really came on strong at the end of the year, and I think everybody predicted then that, you know, he'd pick up where he left off, and he hasn't. I mean, he's probably been the weakest link. You know, Joe Looney's done an unbelievable job in filling in for an all-pro in Travis Frederick. I mean, there's certain things that he can't do, you know, like communication with Zach Martin and those guys having the familiarity with each other, you know, those kinds of things. Williams has been good. He's had some boo-boos, and those have stood out. Like, he's been good, I'd say, on 85% of the plays, but there's been some other, like 15% of those are just, he looks like a train wreck. So I think people have overreacted to him, but he's developing well. They have a good offensive line. It's not a great offensive line. And I think the thing that I haven't mentioned is Tyron Smith, their all-everything left tackle, who, I mean, he started to have back issues, and, you know, back issues just don't get better. So, I mean, it had a short shelf life of being the best line in the league. We don't know if or when Travis Frederick will be back. But I'd say, considering the circumstances, losing that guy as close as they did to the season and then being able to place him as adequately as they have, they had a lot of issues on offense. I would say the last of those issues is their offensive line. It's not dominant. It wasn't, as you said, Rich, what it was a couple of years ago when it was dominant, but it certainly isn't, you know, tight ends, wide receivers, quarterback. Those are the issues in the offense, not the running back, not the offensive line.
It's Ari Temkin, pregame and postgame for the Cowboys Radio Network. Ari, enjoy the game on Sunday. I'm doing pregame and postgame for the Texans, so we will give a virtual fist bump to each other, and then good luck to the good luck, and may the best team win. So appreciate you coming on with us, man. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Absolutely. Should be fun. And you know, sometimes I think they should play every year, but I love the fact they play once every 4 years. It makes that much better. So you guys enjoy the game as well. Great talking to you.
All right. Appreciate you, Ari.
Thanks,
you get him
Ari.
On Twitter, at Ari Sports, A-R-I Sports on Twitter. All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.